Grandma's coming too. Since we didn't have a bulletin, I forgot that there is one announcement that I did not make. You had one too? On Tuesday, which is normally the day that we fast, from Monday night to Tuesday night, we're asking everyone to fast for Don. Okay? Those of you that are in the Fest Shepherding Group, 11th. No, not July the 9th. The 11th? Oh, okay. So you can read that in the calendar next week.
Can you hear me? All right. Is it better? Good. Last month, there was a lady preacher here who gave a sermon. It's sort of a weird one. It was about gleanings from a turkey hunt. I wouldn't mention her name, but her initials are Lisa Fess. But it brought me back into the days of yesteryear when she asked me if I would like to go to the ballet. Now, I got to be honest, I never considered myself going to the ballet before in my life, but similar to her teaching, because I loved her, I would go because I'd be spending time with her. And, you know, I thought it can't be too bad because judging by all her excitement, it must be almost as much fun as turkey hunting. So I just sort of thought it would be kind of like a turkey hunt only inside. You know, so. And so I said, what time are we going? And she said, oh, it starts at 4. I said, wow, that's even before daylight. No. 4 in the afternoon. I thought, well, I like this, but it's kind of weird to start 12 hours after turkey hunting starts. And you know, we get there, and those people didn't care whether they moved or not. They were all flinging their arms around and yelling, hey, down here. And it just went on and on. It was nothing like a turkey hunt. They moved their head without rolling their eyes first. And it was just terrible, almost sacrilegious. And it just went on and on like that. But I promised that this would have been a short sermon. So I'll just let you fill in with your vivid imagination what else went on that day. I couldn't bear to repeat it. But it was the great and wonderful thing was that I was with the one I loved. And I would even go back.
You are all witnesses
to that.
What?
What? Guess what you want at the auction?
Well, I think we better move on before I get in too much trouble. I feel my wheelchair bogging down here. And so for my second sermon tonight, turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. Jesus had just been talking about giving alms, which, by the way, in one translation says doing and giving your righteousness. So giving is righteousness in God's eyes, giving when he directs. But in verse 5, it shifts to excuse me, to prayer. And Jesus says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret will reward you openly. Father, we just ask for your blessing on this word, Lord, that it would come out as you want it to, that it would accomplish what you intend it to, Lord, that we would grow in the things of God, we would grow in our walk with you, we would have all that you have for us, Lord, that we would handle this word gently, but according to your authority and your wisdom and your intention, that we all might come to the maturity that you have for us in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, first of all, he says when you pray. So that's assumed that he expects his disciples to pray. But then he says, don't be as the hypocrites. And what is a hypocrite? He's a play actor. He's a phony. He's someone who acts one way, but he's not. And he's acting to, what, promote himself, to further himself, to gain a better reputation in this case. We're not talking about professional actors here, ballet dancers. We're talking about people spiritual actors, pretending they're somebody they're not. And he says, don't be like them. And don't, he says, they like to, what, stand. They stand up. Why? Because they want to be noticed. They want to be recognized. They want to be seen. And in what? The synagogue and in street corners, in public places. To be noticed by as many people as possible. And it's all done, what? To be seen of men. That's what Jesus said. Now, that's really the problem. The problem is not that we pray or stand or whatever position. God gives us great liberty in this. But when I am praying just to be seen of men, that's the sin. And that is, you know, as I studied, it's just not wrong. It's wicked. It is wicked. And so they what, put themselves on spiritual display as though they are some great spiritual leader or mature, or they have superior knowledge over the common people that they're looking down on. They have some special connection with God. Whatever their imagination and fantasy and their deception believes they are. And it's got one of the great roots in it is pride. And the Lord says that pride goes before destruction, haughty spirit before fall. And we talked about deception a couple months ago. And what? How do we get out of this? If I've got pride, I can. The only way it seems I can get out is to fall, is to just go so far that I crash. But there is one other way, and that's to be submitted to other people, Christian leaders, and other spiritually mature brothers and sisters. And they can warn me, and if I heed it, they'll keep me out of this huge, embarrassing fall. But please note, they already had the title, Pharisee. They had the position. They had the clothes. But it wasn't enough for them. Why? Because deep down they knew they didn't have the anointing. They didn't have the goods like Jesus. And they hated him because he did. And he didn't have the big titles and clothes and everything. And so they didn't know what to do, so they thought, well, we'll operate in the flesh. And they weren't even satisfied with who they were and what they were doing. And so what they also had a great fear and insecurity in their position, because they had this need to always be rolling themselves out again before the people, to reestablish and remind them constantly of their position and what they knew, and that they had it over them, and just through what, manipulation and control. But Christ called them hypocrites. So they weren't what they looked or sounded like or claimed to be. And he also said that they do have their reward. They already have it. What's the reward? To be seen of men. That's it. A very temporal reward. They've impressed a few people. And sadly, it isn't anyone that it really matters who they impress. Because we have to impress Christ, don't we? It doesn't matter what men think of us. In fact, if I'm friends with the world, maybe God isn't too happy with me. If I can't get somebody mad at me preaching the gospel. In fact, if I'm doing a good job, they might even hate me and you and persecute us. So, I know there's preachers that tell you, oh, it's just a bed of roses and come on up here and become a Christian with this little prayer I got and your problems will go away. That isn't what I found out to be true. You come up here and become a Christian and all hell will break loose is what will happen. And your head will be spinning. But God will give you grace and it will be the most important, the most wonderful decision you could ever make. It's beyond, it's what settles where we live in eternity. And so it's important to watch that we don't want what the praise of men. Because men will do anything to get that. It gets as addictive as heroin or crack. And people, be careful of that. People praise you. That's right. We can accept that humbly and say, well, thank you. Praise God. It's nice that you noticed or whatever. But on the other hand, don't look for it. Because when I get used to that and it's a steady diet to me, and then you don't give it to me, now my nose is out of joint. I'm all upset. Right? And then what? Then I start doing things to get that praise. And it isn't going to be good. So Jesus said, what good is it to inherit the whole earth and lose your soul? What good is it to have all the praise of men and lose your soul? He said, worry about those who can kill the body, the one that can kill the body and the soul, not just the body. So they've got their temporal reward. They're impressing carnal people, not spiritually mature ones. And if I can impress you with telling you all the stuff I do or I'm clever at this or that spiritual discipline, probably most of you would see right through it anyway. And what? I'll end up lower than I thought and than I was if I just kept my mouth shut. And so now it's very important to notice it. What we're really talking about, all my Christian life, whenever we talked about going into the closet and closing the door, I always believed it was about seclusion. It was about being alone, cutting out all the distractions that are out there. But as I studied it and read it over and over, seclusion isn't mentioned there. What is mentioned is secrecy. Secrecy. And I've come to believe that the most important thing about going in the closet and shutting the door is secrecy. Secrecy, intimacy with your father. I can remember when I was first an elder, about a week after I was ordained, after church, this woman and her husband and family came up to me, and because I was an elder, they wanted me to anoint her and pray for her. She had cancer. And I did, and I thought, wow, I felt, I hate to say it, but I felt a little important about that. A week later, during the service, she gets up and says she'd gone to the doctor and the Lord had healed her of the cancer. And now I felt really important. There was one thing, though, that irritated me a little bit. She didn't mention that I prayed for her. it wasn't too cool. The Lord had me on kind of a short leash in those days. Not that things have changed that much. Because he loves me. And he pointed out to me that, Ron, this isn't about you. It's about me, and it's about her. And besides, probably another 100 people prayed for besides you. So who are you to say, oh, I did it? And so, you know, I wish we didn't ever had that discussion again. But it's not true. It's like we've had it quite a few times. The Christ healer, it's his name that's to be glorified, his name to be mentioned. In 1 Corinthians 4, 7, 6 and 7, Paul warns his readers not to think of men beyond what the scripture says about them. It will cause pride, boasting, and division. And division, by the way, is one of the seven so-called deadly or abomination, deadly sins, worst sins you can commit. Drunkenness isn't in there. Homosexuality isn't in there. But division, he who causes division is. And I could cause division with me mishandling the things that God gives me and calls me to. How many times have we heard as Christians, I never want to be a Christian or a bunch of hypocrites? They can't get along with each other. Why would I want to get in that fight too? And so that's division, and it's not even letting the guy in the gate. He goes on to say, what separates you from your brothers? He says, what do you have that wasn't given to you? And it's something to think about. Yeah, but I've got a gift. Yeah, well, that was given to me, obviously. That's why it's a gift. Okay, I got a call. Yeah, well, God called you, so I didn't have anything to do with that. Well, I've got great physical strength. Well, where did I get that? I have a friend. He's 2 days younger than I am. His name is Hank Hope. I've known him since I was 7 years. We were 7 years old. That man can still build houses right up from the ground. He's in such condition. He still puts roofs on. He frames. He does masonry work, which I think is worse than roofing, harder than roofing. It's just unbelievable, the strength that he has at 70 years old. I mean, we both started out with the same set of muscles. I don't know where I went wrong. Oh, I stuck my neck out there, didn't I? Okay, I deserve that one. Let's move on. But truly, what do I have that God didn't give me in his goodness? Everything I got that's of any good, God gave me. And so what right do I have to boast of it? None, absolutely none. It says, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord, which the word is boast. He who wants to boast, boast in the Lord. And so all I can boast of is God. Look at, he gave me these talents or gifts or strengths or wisdom or whatever it is. And certainly if he made me stronger than you or wiser than you, it isn't to lord it over you. But it is to what? Edify you, build you up, help you along, encourage you, whatever our gifts are for. It's to, not just to be squandered on me. It's to help other people. The Pharisee won't do that. And so, you know what happened with that lady that I was praying for? God called me to labor in a field that somebody else had already been laboring in. I'm sure their family was praying for her for a long time before I even knew she had a problem. You know, in Matthew 25, 26, he says, I reaped where I sowed not and gathered where I did not straw. And so we just sort of come along. And there's another reason we should look at that too, is don't be discouraged when you pour into someone's life and you never see anything happen. Mm-hmm. Right. Because very likely somebody else is going to get a shot at him down the road.
Yeah.
You know, how can I ever, you know, I've seen a lot of wonderful things happen during my time at the Open Door Mission. Just wonderful things. But, you know, before I went there, I don't think I ever led 5 people to the Lord. And even at that, I didn't really push people a lot, because I don't want them to think it's just some magic prayer or something. That I waited till I felt they were ready before I give them any nudge or anything, because I want them to it to be from their heart. But at any rate, I've got the privilege of praying with many, many more people than I ever did before I went there. But what was that? That was me reaping where other men had sown. I just happened to be there when God answered all those prayers from the parents, the children, the church, the pastor, the friends and loved ones for this guy. And I just happened to be there. It's like having a wonderful deer watch where you get your buck every opening morning. You got a great spot, and I had a great spot there at the Open Door Mission. These guys had just come in and they were hungry for God. If I'd known them a week earlier, they'd have wouldn't have been so nice, probably. And so you see that. What can I boast of? Nothing. Absolutely nothing but God Almighty. And that's, he's something to boast about. I mean, now we're on the right track. What, in 1 Samuel, Saul, what did he do? He boasted that he killed these Philistines, that in truth, his son Jonathan and the lowly armor bearer, the servant killed these guys, right? But what did Saul do? He had to promote himself. He had to grandstand. Look at, I killed those guys, those Philistines, you know. And so we see that a spirit of pride leads us into what? Other sins. Now he's lying. And even exaggeration, still lying. It's no less of a lie. He had the fear of man. He was worried about what men thought of him. He watched his army, some of them deserting, and the Philistines getting bigger in their ranks, and he couldn't wait to follow God's instructions. He had to go out and make that sacrifice that he wasn't authorized to make. Why? Because he was afraid of men. And for that, he said, your kingdom won't endure. And then he gets another chance, and what does he do? He was told to kill every living thing, and he did, and he kept King Agag alive. He kept all the nice sheep and cattle because the people said they wanted to keep him for sacrifice. I got a feeling that most of them wouldn't have made it to the altar. They were too nice, because if they really were worried about the Lord, we get that priceless word from Samuel, to obey is better than sacrifice.
Right.
And so, but the thing that really blows my mind about that whole story is Saul learns he's losing his kingdom. Now, it's not going to endure. It's not going to just not endure. You're losing it now. And he goes, yeah, okay. It didn't daunt him. But what? Samuel, would you pray for me and bless me in front of all these people? Well, this guy is made of granite. He doesn't get it. And this is this disaster in his life, he doesn't even recognize it as such. We're to let our light so shine before men that they see our good works and what? Glorify God. Glorify God. And so we see, we want to go into this, what? This closet, close door, and be in secret with the Father. What's he going to do? Well, I can pour out my heart to him. I can confess my sin. I confess my shameful deeds, things that I'm almost ashamed to tell him, and he already knows. I would never tell a person, yet I'm secure and safe in his presence. Think about that. It took me a long time to learn when I messed up, if first place I should run to is Him.
Yes.
I hope you all know that before I learned it. But I can unload my burdens. I can confide in Him. I can, and He confides in me. Isn't now there's something for you. Here's God Almighty, the creator of all the universe, the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-wise, all-strength. And he allows a piece of dust to come in and have a one-on-one with them. And, you know, He doesn't just allow it, He invites me. And when I come, He welcomes me. And then He rewards me. He rewards me for doing this. Get, you know, and talk about a deal. Talk about seeing Him coming. I mean, what an incredible blessing. What a depraved man I can be when I would take that honor, that privilege, and use it for my gain and furtherance. Look at me. I did this. God, you know, I was in there and He told me about that guy's sin and this guy, and I use it to look spiritual. He didn't tell me that to promote me. He told me that He trusted in that secret place, in that intimacy. He told me that at least to pray. There's the first thing we learn about something about somebody. It's to pray for him. Now, as we are faithful to pray and not talk about it, He might give us more details. What to do about it, and maybe even the liberty to talk to somebody about it. Talk to him about it, the guy with a problem about it, you see. And so, but it isn't for me to promote myself. And so what, He answers my prayer. He gives me insight into myself and other people. I just can't get over how safe I feel in His presence. He wipes away my tears. He takes away my shame, condemnation, and guilt. He clears my conscience. You ever meditate on what a powerful thing a clear conscience is?
Yes.
It is powerful. It's really wonderful to get from Him. But unless He gives me a very direct word, I should keep it under my hat.
Yeah.
It's not for me to gossip and display myself and manipulate and shame people and criticize. All this, of course, you know, I've been out there and broke all these rules. That's where this is coming from. But it's a solemn warning. Anyone who hasn't, don't step into that trap. How would we feel? We confide in someone and then go out and tell them. You know, what if I told you where my favorite grouse hunting cover was and you went out and told somebody? See, that's what I get for taking you there without blindfolding. I told Al, he should blindfold him. But you see what? It would ruin the intimate part of our friendship. It would ruin the trust, wouldn't it? It might even ruin the friendship. And how dare would I do that to God Almighty? God Almighty. So, why would I do it? There's no redeeming value in it. Besides, He instructs me not to do it. No more relationship. Or I have to, you know, repent and start over. Next time the secret place, I'll be getting that all squared away. But if I'm faithful and do it His way, I will grow and mature. I will make a positive difference in people's lives. I can remember at the mission, sometimes you'd be interviewing a guy, just met him, and God would show you something about this man that, but you know what? There wouldn't be liberty to share with him, maybe for weeks or months, and maybe never. And you're tempted to be frustrated. No, I got to tell him. I got to say something. No, I don't. Not if Christ didn't tell me to. And so think about this. If this guy is so sensitive, so wounded, and he doesn't need another one, and God won't give me the liberty to speak to him, how do you think it would go over with him if he heard it from somebody I gossiped to? Would you think he'd trust the next Christian he runs into? And then he's going to be saying what we just said about Christians a minute ago, you see. And so it is a very delicate thing. And it falls under doing others as you have doing to you. I wouldn't like that. It really hurts me when it happens. But rather than focus on my hurt, maybe I should focus on who I've hurt. Be more careful, you know. So what does all this reveal about me? Well, we said pride. I can only boast about God. But what about, you know, if I could be quiet, who's going to notice me? Who's going to see what I did? I mean, how will I ever be promoted? You know, what the Bible says here in Proverbs 27:2 is, let another man praise thee and not thy own lips. 25:27 says, for men to search their own glory isn't glory. And Jesus said the same thing. I don't think I have that reference, but he said the same thing. If I seek my own glory, there's no glory in it. And so, if God sees fit, he'll give me a pat on the shoulder. But he doesn't want to spoil me. He doesn't want me to be expecting that all the time. But he did, right out of heaven, say that about Jesus, my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased. And so then there's fear and insecurity that's revealed out of this mess. How would I get ahead if I don't promote myself? Psalm 75, 5 through 7. Lift not up your own horn on high. Speak not with a stiff neck. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge, and he puts down one and sets up another. Yes. It comes from God. And I can't tell you how many times I've seen people just sit back and let God work. And then often, you know, it looks like they're getting passed by. Well, Psalm 84 or 5, I can never remember that. It's either 84 or 5. It's like right and left. I can never get that too straight. But it says that he will not withhold any good thing from those who walk uprightly. And so if this promotion is really good for me, he'd have given it to me. But, you see, that's a good verse to get us through disappointment, isn't it? I didn't get this, what I wanted. I didn't marry the one I thought. I didn't, it may not settle me down overnight at the flick of a switch, but there is the light at the end of the tunnel that I need to meditate on, is that he has a better job or a better relationship or whatever I've been disappointed in. Maybe a better gross cover because the guy ruined everything over there. But it says a man's gift will make a room for him. Yes. I don't have to, you know, if I've got a gift in music, I don't have to come up to you, to Pauline and Al and say, you know, I ought to be up there. I got a better guitar than them. And I, you know, that one's out of key. No, just sit there. First of all, if I got that attitude, they're not going to let me anywhere near the place. You know, rightly so. And so, we want to hear what, well done, thy good and faithful servant. What is all the praise of men, from all the praise from all the men of the earth, compared to one from the Lord? Well done, thy good and faithful servant. And oh yeah, notice what he calls us, servants. He didn't tell me pastor or junior church leader, whatever. No, I'm a servant. I'm a servant. That's it. And so all this boasting and baiting over who's got the, you know, my church is better than you, my steeple's better than yours, my doctrine, my denominator, my pastor, my whatever, it only leads to division. It doesn't say we can't have our favorites. I'm not saying that. But we need to be very careful. You know, if somebody asks you something, oh, fine, be good. But I have no right to go over to your church and start bugging your congregation about what your pastor isn't teaching you and all this and that. No, I need to wait. If someone asks, I'd be glad to tell them, teach them. But division, again, we don't want to cause division. And we can do it without compromising our own stand. It says it that in 1 Corinthians 3:3, it says that kind of talk reveals envy and carnality and divisions. 1 Corinthians 1:10 says that he wants us to be perfectly joined together. That's a healthy person. That's why Hank can build houses and I can't. He's perfectly joined together in the physical realm. The same things from the same mind and the same judgments. Where does this stuff come from? Where did that, we heard Psalm 91. Where did all those great things happen? Where did we get all those great? In the secret place of the Most High. Al had a prophecy, and forgive me, I don't remember very well, but there was something that went right in line with that. He set up there this evening. And so, Jesus had his prayer closet, didn't he? Might have been a garden, a mountaintop. He was up all night sometimes. He got up early sometimes. He went over here and there. He withdrew from crowds sometimes. And then at times he even kept silent at some of the great crises in his life. Isaiah even prophesied that he would be oppressed and afflicted, yet he wouldn't open his mouth. He'd go as a sheep to the slaughter. Man, I'd have defended myself, I'll tell you right now. You know, I'm going to stand for my rights. I'm a Christian. Well, I'm supposed to be following Christ. Maybe I ought to simmer down a little. Matthew 26 says he was silent to the high priest regarding the false witnesses and questioning. He wouldn't answer. Chapter 27, he was silent to Pilate. Luke 23 to Herod. He didn't even open his mouth when the Pharisee wanted to stone that woman caught in adultery. Man, I mean, that was, to me, that was one of his great moments. he didn't even say a word and everybody's gone. All the accusers are gone. Isn't that something? I mean, that's an anointing. I mean, as someone said, when he said he would the first stone, he without sin cast the first stone, he says you could probably hear stones hitting the ground all over the area. These people disappeared. See, we don't have to do it the way of the world. We just have to find out in the secret place, usually. But the beauty of being in the secret place, learning his voice, getting his instruction, being sanctified, being purified, being dead, learning how to be dead, is then we will hear that still small voice out in the middle of the war. When the war is raging around you, you will know that voice as he did. You see? Now, there's certainly times to speak what God shows us in secret. But I think that's more the exception than the rule. When I see how much damage has been done. Now we're told in Matthew 6 verse 1 that if we do our good works to be seen of men, we'll lose our reward from our Father. Well, then if that's true, it means we will be rewarded by our Father if we do our good works to the glory of God. And so what are some of these rewards? Well, first, intimacy with God. Now, that might take some getting used to. It did me. I don't know about you. Because I would get into trouble, and I'd be all riled up and thinking of all carnal solutions, and none of them were any good either. But it would take me a while to get settled down and say, you know, and then still quiet voices, oh, is this what I taught you, Ron? To think like that? Talk like that? You know, and I'm shriveling up. I can hardly see over the steering wheel of my truck. I'm getting so small. And so I go, no. And then he showed, I repent. And what he starts showing me, not only a different way, but a higher way. And so what I can get my sins forgiven in there. Strength and wisdom to fight the spiritual war that I'm in, whether I know it or like it or not. To bring down strongholds. To get wisdom and strategy. Get the path. Just because I see something wrong over it doesn't mean I got to be involved in the solution. We can get in a lot of trouble running into something that we aren't called to. Like offering a sacrifice when you're not authorized to. And so, but we can meditate on His Word. That's where it becomes faith, just reading it. It may not be faith to me, but when I meditate, I roll it over and over and over. Whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father will be glorified. Ask anything according to my will, and I'll give it to you. Ask anything in my name, and I'll give it to you, that the Father be glorified. And if I'm faithful with the secret things He shows me, I will grow. He will trust me with more. I will learn to abide in Him there. When I abide, I can ask anything I want, it says. And He'll give it to me. You know, I've heard that used to get a car or something. You know, well, if you need a car, that would work. I've been given a lot of cars and trucks. But you know what? If I'm really abiding in Him, I won't be probably asking a lot of selfish stuff. You know, like a new bass boat and guns and canoes and, oh yeah, a couple opera tickets. You know, you see, our prayer life will tell us a lot about where our hearts are, won't it? Now for that, I'm killing myself up here with that one. You know. And so, you know, Paul had all what the religious world would say he had to have. Or I should say Saul of Tarsus. He had it all. If there's anybody that could have been successful by the means of the flesh, it was him. It says that he himself says, I was sick. Circumcised on the eighth day, stock of Israel, tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of Hebrews, is touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness of the law, blameless. He wasn't saying he was sinless, but he as good as they could get. That's, I guess, what he meant by that. But he writes later in Philippians 3:8, yea, doubtless I call all things but loss for the excellency of knowing and of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them as dung, that I may win Christ. Yes. You know, some of you might say, I don't want to be a millionaire. I don't want to be a millionaire. You know, and I can kind of know where they're coming from, but you know what? I'd like to give that a try someday myself. You know, wouldn't, come on, be honest. But you know what? I'm not mad about not being a millionaire. I could do a lot of damage with $50. I don't need that. So, forget that. But what did he do? He called himself the chief of sinners, the least of the apostles. I mean, this is amazing. Revelation, what, the 4:20 out, they took their crowns, which symbolized reward, and tossed them at the throne of God. they tossed away their rewards. I mean, they had to be great, because if God gives you a reward, he ain't giving you something from the Big M or something. He's giving you something really nice. Tiffany's or something. Or better. And so, because even in comparison to God, who is our reward, he's the one that says it's good. He's the one. He told Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, I am thy shield and thy exceedingly great reward. So he's the reward, not the promised land, not Isaac, but God. And he is for us too. Yes. You see, the praise of men is nothing but wood, hay, and stubble, probably soaked in kerosene. It's going up. I'll just close with this thought. God wants to take us so much farther than we imagine. In 1 Corinthians 1:9, it says, eye has not seen, nor has the ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart or imagination of man the things that God's prepared for us. And I am quite tired of not getting what I got coming. And it's nobody's fault but mine. It's nobody's fault but mine. He's got all this stuff for us, but we must do it his way. He will not honor my pride, my fear, my insecurity, my excuses, my flesh, or anything else. And so, I would just like to pray with anyone who wants prayer. I pray that they would just step up here quickly. If they want to pray about fear or insecurity, they feel they've been being passed by and they're not getting what they think they should have. God has not forgotten you. God has not forgotten you. And so we need to get rid of the things that cause we put stumbling blocks out ourselves. A hand on my pride. A hand on my reputation. Jesus made none. He threw his away. He became from God to man, from heaven to earth. He became poor so we could become rich. You know, one truth I've learned in the last few years that is very powerful is death. We learn to die to ourselves in certain areas, whatever is troubles. Because what can you do to a dead man? He's already dead. He can't hurt him. And so we need to die to these things. My reputation and what people think of me and all this. So if anyone wants prayer, come on up. We'll pray for you quickly. And but I pray that you would consider these things. What we've said here tonight, what the Word says. And take them into your closet and close the door into the secret place and see what he'll do with it. He wants to do a lot more. It's not a condemnation or guilt or shame on anybody here. He just wants, he's always got more for us. That's God for you. He's always got more. Never are we going to wear him out or use him up. All right? So, okay, let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for your love for us, your long suffering and patience with me. Lord, you show us the problem, but then you are the solution. Lord, you are the answer to every question, the solution to every problem. Lord, I pray that we would just train ourselves to turn to you immediately when we run into trouble. That we would learn to spend time with you. We can, it's just unimaginable. We can spend time with God Almighty, and I would prefer to work it out by arguing with somebody or whatever, promoting myself. Lord, I pray that we would hate. You would give us a holy hatred for the praise of men, for the desire of it, Lord. Not that we can't be complimented, but that we would do things that would manipulate us into being like Pharisees. Lord, boasting about things that aren't ours to boast about. Things that hurt other people. Lord, let us In fact, your word says that the more comely part has more honor. That's sure not the world's way. So, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name you'd have your way with us, each individual here, for what you want to do. And may your spirit just have free reign in our hearts. And when we go in and meet you in secret, wherever that is, Lord, that you would speak very clearly to us. And thank you. You don't condemn us and shame us. You just heal us and strengthen us. Equip us for what's ahead. In Jesus' name, be glorified today and forever. Amen. 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 Thank you all. God bless you.